right, Payne and Pendergast, you can text the show 713-572-4610. So The Athletic has an article yesterday where they interviewed the three first-time head coaches in the NFL. Liam Cohen, Kellen Moore of the Saints, Liam Cohen of the Jags, obviously. We all know Liam Cohen from, right? Kellen Moore of the Saints, and then Brian Schottenheimer of the Dallas Cowboys. And they asked him several questions. It was really interesting. Like, what's the silliest thing you've seen? What's the best advice you've gotten? This one I liked for the Texans' sake. What's the biggest curveball you got hit with during OTAs or minicamps, and how did you adjust? And the answer for Liam Cohen, and I think this is going to be something they're managing all year, and I think this is an experiment that is going to ultimately fail. But the answer for the biggest curveball, Seth, for Liam Cohen was Travis Hunter. And Cohen said this, that was an organizational decision in terms of needing to make sure that, obviously from a coaching standpoint, we had enough support staff, player engagement, athletic training, because he's going to be playing a lot of snaps and doing a different deal. So let me stop right there. So that first sentence illustrates they are throwing a lot of resources at one guy.
Right.
One guy. Right. Okay, continuing. Sports science, strength and conditioning, everybody. Every single person had to be truly on board with taking on this situation and opportunity. And obviously, the opportunity and situation we're talking about is Travis Hunter playing both ways, maybe extensively, on offense and defense. Continuing, when you're talking about scheduling, that's a curveball and a half because you're saying, quote, okay, we've got to make sure he's getting X amount of days on both sides of the ball, but on those days he's not on one side, we're still making sure we're getting him in meetings on the other side. So talk about assistant coaches having to take some extra workload on. They don't get much of a break because if it's during special teams, he's not on a special teams unit, but there's going to be an offensive or defensive coach. I mean, Liam Cohen makes this sound like they're building a skyscraper here. I'll finish it out here and then get your thoughts. That took a lot of time to map out. It was a curveball, especially for a first-time head coach trying to put together a whole operation.
Yeah. A first-time head coach trying to manage an entire operation, and this is what you're – it feels like the classic example of just anybody in any field or endeavor – where you just don't have the basics set up yet, but you're spending half your day planning how you're going to spend all your money after you make it big. You know, you're trying to reinvent the wheel when you still don't even know how to make an actual wheel. All of these things. And I love it. I love it because it's, if anything, it sounds like when they frame it that way, so also Travis Hunter can play what, like 10 or 15 snaps on defense?
Right.
You're doing all of this and bending over backwards before you've actually just gotten his feet wet as a pro football player. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. And it's a whiz kid, young GM.
Yes.
Who now and then it works out.
You know,
every now and then you get the Boston Red Sox back in the day. More times than not, they fall flat on their face and it becomes a story 30 years from now about how, you know, Gladstone, when he's the GM of the Giants, really learned a lot of lessons about that fiasco in Jacksonville back in the day.
Yeah. Well, then Gladstone has painted them into a corner with this experiment in two ways. One, what he gave up to get Travis Hunter. He gave up a Will Anderson level trade package to move up from 5 to 2 to get Travis Hunter. That's number one. Number two, and you only give up that package if you're going to play him both ways. He's not a great enough prospect on either side of the ball to justify giving up future ones to move up to get him. So that's number one. He's got to play both ways. Number two, the things Gladstone was saying about him in the introductory press conference where he's talking about how he's going to change the sport of football. He ain't going to change the sport of football by playing just corner or just wide receiver. And so, look, ultimately, if he can't physically take the toll, which I think is ultimately, like, at the end of the day, I think Travis Hunter is skilled enough to do both. I just don't think he's big enough to do both, that he can withstand the punishment of doing both. And I think that's ultimately where it's going to fail. So I don't think they're going to pigeonhole him into having to go out there and play hurt just to fulfill Gladstone's prognostication for him.
Yeah.
But they're not going to blow it up early, even if it's not working. Like, they are going to ride this thing into the ground, probably.
They traded for him as if he had already proven that he can be the one guy since platoon football became a thing.
Yes.
That they can play both ways in the NFL. That, like, it was already a done and proven deal. And you're right. The physical size part of it especially is huge. And I, you know, sometimes size gets overblown, but man, you're asking a smaller guy. I mean, he's got a slender frame. He doesn't, you know, it's not just like, it's not like he's short and stout. He's got a slender frame. And to go out and play a really, really physical brand of football, much more so than the Big 12, and to do it 100 snaps per game, it just, physiologically, it just looks like one of those things where, nope, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
No. He missed two of the preseason games because he had a chest injury. Like, it's
right.
It started off, and I know when I would say that, there'd be, you know, we must have a Jag fan or two that listen to the show, like you're, or just somebody who thinks that I'm making a big deal out of something. But I have people say, you're making a big deal out of this. Like, he is a rookie. He needs the reps.
We're talking about a guy who's expected to be the most durable player in NFL history.
Yeah.
That's the expectation put on him by the GM.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
will be the most durable player in NFL history.
If he pulls it off, yeah.
Where does missing two preseason games, conservative approach or not, factor into that? Yeah. If he's going to be the most durable player in NFL history by virtue of playing both sides of the ball, 100 snaps a game, whatever it might be, like, how does missing two preseason games, your rookie year,
yeah.
the healthiest you'll ever be in your entire life, okay. where does it factor in there?
Okay, so the Texans play the Jags in week 3 in Jacksonville and week 10 here. Week 3 in Jacksonville, will Travis Hunter still be playing both? In week 3, will he be playing both
yes,
ways?
Yes, he'll be playing both ways in week 3.
In week 10.
By week 10, Liam Cohen will have had a press conference where he says, you know, we wanted to give it a go and see what happened, but sometimes you have to readjust, and that's where we are with it. I wonder if part of this, too, is that, you know, Travis Hunter had said before the draft that he really wanted to play both ways.
Yep.
I wonder how much some of it is just maybe placating their young draft pick who came to one of the smaller NFL markets, all of that. And Travis Hunter, he's not like a diva or anything. Yeah. I don't know if that even mattered to him or not. But maybe some of that is just kind of, you know, placating his desires, and he needs to learn for himself that, okay, we got to put one foot in front of the other. Baby steps first.
It's an interesting hypothesis. If they hadn't traded up for him and he fell to them at 5, I would agree with that more. That they traded up to get him, I mean, he to justify that cost, he either has to be a Pro Bowler on one side of the football or be a contributor on two sides of the football.
And the GM did tell us that he was going to redefine expectations and what it all means. Yeah,
we have a little.
We're going to have to reevaluate ourselves existentially because that's how great Travis Hunter is going to be.
Thank you to the texters. We have a little bit of news which kind of impacts the Cam Robinson rumors that are out there, or reports from Schefter that the Texans are shopping Cam Robinson. Trent Brown released by the Houston Texans.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess he didn't practice at all during the preseason. Yeah. He was on the PUP list.
Yeah, and I don't want to be a jerk about it or pessimistic about it, but he's a guy who's well into his 30s, who's a giant human being who's coming off of a patellar tendon tear.
Yeah.
And there's not a real vast history of offensive linemen coming back awesomely from patellar tendon tears. So it would have been nice if it worked out. I don't fault them for bringing him in. It sounds like he worked with the rookies really well and was a good teacher out there. But I think they knew when they signed him that it was just a classic, get the guy in the building and see how he progresses.
Brent in the Heights texts in, Trent Brown released, don't see how they trade Cam Robinson now, or am I crazy? I would say the chances of them moving on from Cam Robinson have gone down, the percentage chance he gets moved, but I don't think anything's out of the question. Like, there's going to be other tackles out there that are that become available through the cutdowns here. The Texans might bring in somebody who's not $12 million a year to be a swing tackle.
Well, you know? I mean, it's not news to the Texans that they were going to cut Trent Brown.
Right.
So that part of it, the report of Cam Robinson getting floated, when the Texans, whenever that was leaked intentionally or not, the Texans knew they were going to cut Trent Brown. So I think with the Cam Robinson trade, I think the price, the Texans might be willing to be very patient with it if it happens at all. But that they might just right now be saying, well, look, if we get a really good price, we're going to do it. And, you know, just hope that Blake Fisher looks more like he did in the second preseason game than he did for a lot of the first part of training camp.
If you had to guess, is Cam Robinson still a Houston Texan when 3:01 p.m. today rolls around?
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be an ongoing situation.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe it might have been with a request from Cam Robinson himself.
Maybe.
That they maybe try to find a trade partner. But I don't think Caserio at this point right now would have any real, like a burning desire to trade Cam Robinson unless it was for if they could get a third rounder or something for him.
Yep, we're getting questions on the roster rolling in here. And by the way, keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long. When news breaks, we will we'll react to it here on the station. I don't want to speak for the other shows, but I feel like In the Loop is going to react to stuff they see that the Texans do roster-wise here. I think that's safe to assume. Who do we have for running back since Joe Mixon is out? Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, Damian Pierce. In that order for me.
And Dari Ogunbowale.
And Dari Ogunbowale, yeah. And I think that would be my order that I would dole out the touches. Damian is probably still a little rusty. Dari, I think, is a break glass in case of emergency guy, maybe a third down guy to come in there and catch some balls. I think you got a little bit of juice with Nick Chubb and Woody Marks as the top two guys.
Yeah, I guess, and I don't know. I don't know if I would even put a hierarchy on it, just because I think Damian Pierce is more of a first and second down guy, and Dari Ogunbowale, Woody Marks is a little bit more of a passing down guy.
Mm-hmm.
But not that he can't be used on first down. I think he's got a lot more value as an all purpose back than you would think by his body size or body weight. But I think ideally, you look at Chubb and Marks as kind of like Montgomery and Gibbs up in Detroit. That there's you've got a bigger guy, you've got a smaller slasher type, and you kind of use them complementary
fashion.
But Damian Pierce, I don't think they want Nick Chubb to necessarily get a boatload of carries.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like Damian is second string behind Chubb for what they want to use those types of guys for.
Yeah.
But your overall second guy is Woody Marks.
I agree with that.
A 1A and a 2.
We're going to start to see some names trickle out. Trent Brown is the first one. When you see him, text in, because we're keeping an eye on our phones, but we're doing a show. So keep eyes on it for us here on Sports Radio 610. All right, up next, final segment. Yordan Alvarez coming back for the Astros. I don't know if it's been officially announced yet, but all signs point to him coming back. This does create a bit of a conundrum for something the Astros have had the luxury of doing since Yordan went out back in early May. We'll tell you what that is. Also, I'm going to have Seth guess at who the audience thinks would be the best person to represent the station running a mile. I've got that poll up right now. We'll do that coming up next.